If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, so glad to have you with us. And we are very excited at the return of one KT McFarland, who had up until just a few weeks ago been contributing on almost a weekly basis to the discussion about national security interests, national interests, and even things like her Thanksgiving Day turkey and other important topics as they pressed through the fall. But she has just returned upon a journey through, I think it was mostly Europe, and she now is able to report back to us some of her adventures there. KT, always a pleasure to have you with us. We did miss you while you were gone. And I am very curious because I always love to ask people this when Trump was in office, and I'm eager to see how people are responding to this question now. But as you traveled and as you spoke with people, and whether you knew them well or just met them for the first time, I'm just curious how America is being perceived under the Joe Biden administration.
You know, thank you for those kind words. But one of the things that really struck me was how people are just throwing up their hands all over Europe and say, what happened? You know, America has gone, how did it happen so fast? You know, we, even 6 months ago when I went for the first time back to Europe in the summer, right after the, you know, with their vaccine rollout and all that, I heard from a number of people from all over continental Europe, Brits, Italians, Dutch, hey, America, you know, you guys really do know, you have your act together. Look, you got that vaccine. Nobody figured you'd get a vaccine. You got it rolled out. You know, America's saving the world. And now the attitude is, what the heck? You know, you can't govern yourselves. You have a very unpopular president, and they're looking at the economic catastrophe in Europe and looking to say, well, you know, we could always count on America to lead. Now, to lead economically, to lead politically, to lead geopolitically, to lead in our alliances. And it's not just that America's missing in action. That's bad enough.
Right.
But it's this sort of growing sense that it's over, that America's days are done. That maybe we need to sort of cut our losses with our alliances with America. Maybe we need to go it alone. Maybe we need to improve our relationship with the Chinese, make sure that we don't have we don't get crosswise with Russia because of energy. I mean, one of the primary thing that I noticed, whether it was from cab drivers or, you know, business potentates, is the price of energy in Europe is doubled. And we have inflation here, you know, grocery store inflation, but they have, and they have real supply chain shortages and real shortages of oil, natural gas, gasoline, diesel fuel, and they are really more and more dependent than ever before on Russia. And, you know, I take a step back from that and say, wait a minute, a year ago, where was the world? A year ago, you know, the United States was a strong and thriving economy. Unemployment was way down to historic levels. Economic growth, even with COVID, economic growth is very high. But we were energy independent. And oil, the price of oil was $40 a barrel. Price of gasoline was half of what it is today. And so fast forward, and I think because of Biden's policies, particularly over energy, the United States no longer energy independent, no longer a net exporter of energy. Gasoline prices have doubled. Oil prices have doubled, and what has that done? It's enriched our adversaries like Russia, like Iran, and it's enfeebled the United States.
Yeah.
So my concern is going forward, like they don't care what we're saying anymore. You know, 10, 20 years ago, the world was listening and taking its lead from America. Republican, Democrat, they didn't really care. It was whatever America says, we're going to follow. But now the sense is, really? Well, I don't really care what the American president says because it doesn't really affect me.
So, and you said that that change was as recent as 6 months ago. So let me ask you, because I know that the media here was always very critical of Trump when he would travel abroad. And of course, he sometimes shoved foreign leaders' noses in their own smell from time to time, particularly at that first visit of NATO. I'll never forget his opening remarks on that day when they're all standing out there and they're looking at each other like, what's he saying? But similarly, I always come back to the words of my good friend Dennis Prager, who would say it's better for America to be feared, not feared like they're afraid we're going to attack them or they're, you know, terrified, but feared in kind of like the reverence one has for God, that it's better for America to be feared than to be liked internationally. Because when we seek to be liked and be one of the buddies and everything else, then we kind of lose the respect of the world community. And I'm just curious, it always seemed to me that Trump was not necessarily feared, but he was certainly met with a very sobering kind of understanding that here was a guy that was really going to be on America's team, and they were just going to have to deal with that. You and I see the diminished state of the president that we have right now. Do the people in Europe, the cab drivers, the people you interacted with, the meetings that you had, do they see that same diminished executive in our White House?
Yeah, but in a slightly different way. You know, when President Trump was president and his relationship with Europe was to say, okay, what are you guys doing? We've carried you for a long time economically, in the security sphere. You know, you're rich and prosperous. It's time for you to do your fair share. Now, the leaders of Europe didn't really like that, and the intellectuals of Europe, they didn't really like to hear that. But the average guy in the street understands that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody liked Donald Trump's tone. Nobody liked the insults. Nobody liked the constant Sturm und Drang. But there was a sense that America had to be listened to. Maybe he didn't like what he was saying, but you had to listen to it, and you had to figure out what your position was with regard to that. Now, it's just, they're kind of ignoring us. I mean, you know, not only feared, not like, no, nothing. We're not even on the radar screen. I mean, one thing that just sticks in my mind, and you talked about that first meeting that Donald Trump had with the European senior leaders, and he was sitting down, they were all standing around him, shrugged, and they, you know, arms crossed and all looking, scowling around, because he was telling him, do your fair share.
He
was
exactly
telling him,
right.
Come on, why aren't you, you know, why Germany, why are you refunding your taxpayers because you have a surplus of revenues, and yet at the same time, we who have a deficit, you're expecting us to pay for your security. I mean, the first phone call that Donald Trump had with Angela Merkel, the German chancellor at the time, she said, her first words out of her mouth, and I was in the White House Oval Office, so I was there and I heard it. She said, what are you going to do about Ukraine? And he said, what are you going to do about Ukraine? Ukraine's on your border. What are you prepared to do?
Right, right.
Dead silence. And then I kept thinking, okay, so that's Donald Trump scolding those people. Fast forward to Joe Biden's first trip to Europe, and how was he received? Oh, the French President Macron was slapping him on the back. Everybody was, hey, Joe, it's great to have you back. Biden himself saying, America's back, America's back. And all I could think of, back? All these guys who are welcoming you back into the club, these are the leaders of former great powers. I'm not sure that's a club I want to be in.
Yeah.
I do not want to be a has-been leader. I want to be a leader of a nation that's on the rise.
Well, it's going to be interesting, KT. This year is going to be very interesting because we do have some vital elections coming up in November, and we're going to have to make sure that the priorities get articulated properly and that the voters understand the clear choices. But thanks for all that you do on a weekly basis, and good to have you back, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds like a plan.
If you miss any part of KT's discussion, please go get the podcast, The Briefing with KT McFarland, SoundCloud, iTunes, Amazon, Audible, Spotify, and the others. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Don't go away.